This is the Unbrainwashing America podcast with Andrew Sams and John Goodrum.
I've never been to a house on Thanksgiving.
Well, my godmother is Caucasian, so her
food. Well, she just doesn't season her food.
No, her food is bomb. No, her food is bomb.
So what?
But she does have. She does it always.
What do you call yourself?
What do you mean?
Go.
Like, are you Black American? Are you American? Are you Black? Are you African American?
I'm African American.
No, you're American. You're born here. You're just American.
Yeah, you're just an American, huh?
Just American.
Okay.
I would consider you an American first.
Okay. Why?
Because it's stupid to say you're African. Like, think about it. You're saying
why
a continent.
Why is it stupid?
Then why aren't you African North American? Because it would say continent, then country, right? And then but you're continent. Why are you saying Africa as a whole continent? You're not from a whole continent. Or your family ancestors aren't from a whole continent. They're from a country, a city, a place. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you're saying
get it,
that.
But
why don't we say we're North Americans? Why don't I say I'm a North American? Why do I say I'm an American?
I still say that I'm African American.
I'm not disagreeing. You can say whatever you want to do.
No. I completely understand.
But then you're labeling everybody and you're separating people. If you just said American as a whole, you're including everybody.
Okay.
If you say you're just African American, you're basically separating yourself from the other Americans by identifying yourself.
Okay.
That's the reason, like, I was ever told, like, when I was a kid, I used to write, like, Hispanic or other.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually I just put other and put American in. Because then you're separating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when a police officer pulls you over, and then they identify you as, like, a white male, black female, or...
Well, usually they'll say black female.
Right. But that's just because they're doing description. But talk about it as American as a whole, I think we should just say American. I don't think we should... label ourselves.
Yeah,
like,
that's it. Like, if you go to Brazil and you see a white person that lives there, and then there's black people, and then there's in between all that in
mm-hmm.
Brazil, right? They're all called Brazil. They're not like, that's a black person. Or you go to Europe,
you're
not African Brazilian, you're not African European or African.
Okay.
Why is it like that here?
Been taught that. Like, I just
you know who
like
started
just,
you know
I
who started that?
Represent my
But do you know who started
black
it?
People, you know, my peeps.
No, Jesse Jackson started
mm-hmm.
it back in like 1985. He started using it. He said that African American or blacks should start using the terminology African American. Yeah, it was before that.
You just feel like if someone identifies himself as a Mexican or an Indian and they live in America, they should just identify themselves as an American.
Yeah, if you're a citizen.
If you're born natural, if you're not a natural citizen, you should say whatever country you're from. Like, you should say I'm this, but I live here in America, right? Like, if I was born in Mexico, I'd be like, I'm Mexican, but I live here in America.
But
right?
Don't you think that would discredit who they are?
No, because you're identified. You're saying
well,
I'm proud.
Why would you
I'm
not?
American.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm proud of my heritage of being half Mexican. So if I went around and I was like, yeah, I'm just a white dude and never represented it, then. But I'm American first. Like, I'm not, like, going around telling people, like, I care less about
Mexico
when it comes down to
yeah.
it. I'm fighting for America at all costs.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was any race, I would never fight for any country other than the one that I was from, no matter what my skin color was.
Gotcha. That's understandable.
Man. That.
We haven't even introduced our guest.
Oh, sorry. We were like,
yeah, that was great. So what just happened, if you're tuning in, we just hopped straight into discussion and it went down a path that was actually pretty interesting and entertaining. But I'm Mac and Cheese 554 on Instagram. This is
The Gorilla Clown on Instagram.
Gorilla Clown.
The Gorilla Clown.
I'm _ Shanice Nicole.
So we just decided we'll bring on a guest today, and I know Shanice since high school. And we've been talking lately. She's been doing a lot of work in the community, so we decided to bring her on. Thank you for coming out today.
What kind
of
work are you doing in the community?
So I've always been an advocate for just helping people and being a vessel to people.
Mm-hmm.
So just helping the homeless. I have collected clothes, passed out clothes. Given out food to them, just randomly gone downtown.
Like what? Like, you're getting food that's donated to you, or it's
donated and bought?
Oh, that's awesome. So your company or whoever you're working for is donating it, like buying it and donating it, or you specifically are doing
both?
This?
So, and then when it's donated, I'll obviously go and get it washed because nobody wants, you know.
Yeah, nobody wants dirty.
And then just go and give it to the street, randomly.
Right.
That's awesome.
Do you have a selection of people that you give it to, or do you get, like, what I'm saying is, do you give it to just anybody that comes up and ask, or do you have, like, a criteria for giving stuff out?
I usually just go downtown, and if I see you on the street, I just give it to you. There's no,
well, you know. You know what's funny? The reason I ask is because one time I was at KFC, and this guy that looked homeless, I mean, I could have swore he was homeless. He was riding on a bike, he had a dog and a little carrier. And so I was being nice to go. I went and got some food I was getting food for everybody, and I got some extra food, and I went out to take it to him, and he was like, "I'm not homeless. Like, why are you giving this to me?" And I was like, "Dude, I'm just giving it to you. You can have it." And ends up, his girlfriend worked there so he got food all the time. So he really.
So what
got
was
one.
He wearing? Like, how did?
He was on a bike.
What made him homeless?
To me, what made him homeless? Everything about his appearance. It's if you took a typical person that you see homeless, like riding around on a bike. Has a dog, has the dirtiest clothes you can imagine. It was my assumption. That's why I'm asking, like, what was your criteria for going up or saying if someone's homeless to you? Because I would assume that if somebody wasn't homeless and they were just walking on the street, the same scenario, would they be offended if you stopped and gave them stuff as well?
A lot of people that I've encountered put up a facade that they're not, and in actuality, they really are.
Right.
And I say that because I've...
They're embarrassed of their situation.
Yeah, I've interviewed some. Right. And later discovered down the line that what they gave me were false, and they were actually homeless or experiencing homelessness.
Right, like the phone numbers or addresses or...
Yeah, and it just basically came from a place of them not wanting to let a stranger in and just embarrassed of their situation.
Well, going into 2020, what are some of your plans? What are some of your ideas?
I would love to create mobile showers.
What's for anybody that doesn't know what a mobile shower is?
Mobile shower is like a truck with showers in it and a sink. And I just want people to come in and take a shower. If you don't have access to a shower, I want you to be able to come in and shower and enjoy a hot shower, pretty much.
So a truck that has basically a water heater in it?
Yeah, with like maybe four
like
or five or six.
Like a little tub or shower?
No tubs, just showers.
Just showers.
Yeah.
So what you're picturing is a huge truck, like a party
bus? It doesn't have to be
bus.
A huge truck. It could be a small, right. Not small, but like medium-sized truck. Right. I think a huge truck would be a little much and not easy to like travel all over Atlanta. So just a medium-sized truck with like four or five stalls with showers in it, and I know some of the shelters downtown, they have access to whereby people can come in and take a shower, but I think that there's, if I'm not mistaken, there's a cutoff time, and not a lot of people get there in time.
Right.
Some people don't even know where the showers are, so if I can provide that ability to them, then that would be dope.
No, for sure. That would be great to help
a couple
anybody.
Of times throughout the week and not just
what about
day.
Providing a future for them, like a job sort? Not you providing a job specifically, but what kind of, what are you doing to help them, like, better themselves?
What am I doing now, or what would I like
What
to
would
do?
You be doing to help them?
I would like to provide jobs, or not me provide jobs. Well, I could.
What the reason why I was asking is I've always thought of doing is like setting up similar to what you're saying, but not a mobile shower, obviously, that's right.
Yeah.
But like a place where people can use an address, like an address and my phone or a set of phones at any given time so that they can make themselves, because I feel like that's a lot of the problem is they don't have a lot of times somebody doesn't have an address. They don't have, or like you said, a clean set of clothes.
Yeah. And even with that, like, I've encountered people who have phones, but they live on the street, and they'll go to sleep for an hour and wake up and their phones are gone. Or they have a locker somewhere at a shelter, but the lockers are only for a period of time, and then when that time is up, then they gotta find another locker somewhere else, or store their, you know, stuff up under a bridge or in some woods or whatever. So I would like to have access for them to have jobs, but the only thing about that is they're coming from a particular lifestyle, so getting them to work on a daily basis or 2 to 3 times out the week. I think you need more than just transitioning into that.
Some mental health.
Yeah, like.
Some like but, psychiatric. Like, yeah. Mental. Yeah. No, I agree. A lot of people that I find in those situations, like the people that have become alcoholics or drug addicts and continue to feed off getting high or whatever, and that's their main goal. And then I probably have zero empathy, really. I understand the situation because I've never gone through it, but I know people that have gone through it that are very close to me.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like the people that have mental disabilities, I 100% think that we as a people should make our government or the where our funds are going should be provided solely to help people like that at all costs.
I agree.
And it goes even further than that. The people that are born or diagnosed without diseases that are if you go out and have sex and you get an STD, obviously that's your fault. You should be responsible for your problems. Mm-hmm. But if you're born with a disease that you should never have to, you should always be provided some sort of and some sort of reliability so that you or your family's not burdened on that, because that's not something that you or your family were trying to encompass in your life, you know, something that was thrust upon you. And the government should help people like that at all costs before going and giving money to people in Europe or wherever.
But also, I feel like there should be some type of education for people who don't understand people who have mental disabilities, especially people who are experiencing homelessness or who are homeless. In ways of us approaching them, because a lot of people are scared or they call people crazy because, you know, they have schizophrenia or whatever mental disorder. But more than half of people who are homeless have mental disorders.
Right. No, I would agree that almost all of them would have some sort of, unless you're on drugs and you can provide shelter for yourself and you can, but you're spending all your money on drugs, you would have to have some sort of mental disorder, because that's not a normal train of thought to say, hey, I want to live on the street. Your normal train of thought would be like, hey, I want to provide a house, I want to have a job, I want to have food, I want to have luxuries or whatever it is that you want to provide yourself. You don't want to, nobody wants to live on the street. And if you say that that's the or if you've come up to the choice where that's the choice you're going to make, and you refuse to go to work and you refuse to do all these things, and you do have some sort of mental disability that probably wasn't addressed. It was probably never addressed whenever the person was in their young ages that said, hey, I'm going to be lazy. And it probably got diagnosed as just being lazy or whatever it is, you know, and there's probably other things that went with it, you know, maybe like depression or the fear of being around people.
Depression is so real.
A lot of different things, right?
Have y'all ever battled with depression?
I think everybody does.
I think to some degree, maybe like depression, maybe after like maybe a breakup type of depression, but never like depression where I was sad that I didn't like my life like that. And I wouldn't consider a breakup depression in any way. I'm just sad
because you lost someone. Well, some people do. I
mean, no, not really depressed, more just sad. Like when you date somebody for long periods of time, of course, it's like if you had a rock in your hand for 10 years and then all of a sudden somebody took that rock out of your hand, you would miss that rock because you'd have an emotional connection to it because it's been there. So no matter what, if you're best friends with somebody and you lose them, of course you're going to be sad or you're going to. What about you? Have you battled?
I have.
Yeah.
Not funny.
Depression is real.
No, I 100%.
It's real and it's very, very hard to get out of, and it's work. It's like a full-time job, especially if you're deep into it.
No, I think I can go back to say I've never had like a true, but after like vacation, like have you ever heard of vacation depression or whatever?
No.
All right, so I went on vacation to Disney World this last year, and then whenever I got back for like a whole month after that, it was just like, every day was lame. Like I was like, life's lame. But I wasn't depressed. Like I wasn't like, I hate life. But to some degree, I could see that it was the first time in my life I could put myself in somebody else's shoes to say, hey, I could see if I was really upset about something in my life, I would be like, because I personally don't get how somebody could want to kill themselves, but because I enjoy and I see life differently than they do. But if I were to see the life the way they did, then I guess I could understand it. But I probably couldn't put
myself. Minnie Mouse wrapped his finger around hers, you know.
Hey.
You went to Disney World.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just like when you go there, I was with my family, so it's like when you go with your family, it's like the older you get, the more the memories you create are more valuable, you know what I mean?
And you're in the Magic Kingdom, bro.
When you get 40, you're going to be like less and less of these memories, especially when you're sharing them with your kids and your family, you know, so it's like you know that these memories aren't going to happen too long. Because my kids are about to be 18, and they're going to be like later.
Your kids are about to be 18?
And in 6 years, my son will be 18, and then 8 years, my daughter will be 18. I also have a 21-year-old son as well. Yeah.
My God. Okay, so I know we were talking about this earlier, but what are three traits that you look for in a woman that you absolutely have to have?
Absolutely. Somebody that's smart. She has to be smart. Okay. If she's not smart, then it's like...
what defines smart? Because everyone has their
like book smart, like intelligent, somebody that I can talk, have a conversation with, and I don't feel like I'm talking to an idiot. Like,
okay.
Because in my mind, if I talk to somebody dumb, we'll just stop having the conversation.
Okay.
And just agree with them, or, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. If I don't like what they're saying, I'm just like, all right, whatever, cool. And then I never talk to them.
Oh, you didn't even finish all your things.
I could only date girls that were, I always said I could date any girls, and then I dated a girl that was relatively skinny for years and years and years, and so now I'm like, the girl has to be,
they gotta be thick.
They gotta be a normal weight, I guess, not too thin and not too thick. Yet. Like,
sorry.
She's like, you gotta be thick.
Well, some people like thick girls.
No,
thicker than
what I'm saying is that after I dated this girl, I dated a girl that was much heavier, like way heavier for a couple months, and then I was just never attracted to her in that way, so... Now I know I have to have a girl that's like a normal size weight, and whatever a normal size weight is in my mind, I will have to see that. And then.
So would you prefer for the woman to keep up with themselves, because weight is?
I definitely would like somebody that was athletic and could keep up with me at the gym or do stuff like that for sure, of course. And then, my third one would be. She has to be like a person that one of her love languages would have to be like affection.
Okay.
Like she would have to be affectionate. Mm-hmm. She couldn't be somebody that was like, I don't need to kiss or I don't need to do.
Right.
Because if they're like that, then I don't feel like I'm with that person. You know what I mean?
Oh, damn. I guess my girlfriend doesn't feel like that because that's not my love language.
That's not your love language?
I'm anti-affection. Don't touch me.
Really?
Yeah, don't touch me.
Yeah, it's your turn now. What's your
I mean, there's a time and place. I just don't want to be in touch. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my bubble. Like, I endured some, like, when you fight, you take pain, so, like, that touch is just, like, it's not the same. Yeah,
I don't mean
pain.
I want to be touched all the time, but I mean, like, if somebody's not being affectionate.
But most women are over-affectionists. They want to touch you, they want you to cuddle, and
that
you
lets
know.
Me, see, but that lets me know, like, that they love me and they care about me, and they're not doing that with somebody else. Like, that's how I feel, like, if I'm with somebody and they're not doing that, then
that's your
not,
love language, then.
And that's, so you exactly, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't want somebody that's like, hey.
See, my love language is words of affirmation. Don't touch me. You can give me compliments.
Right. So, while you were growing up, was there always affection given?
I mean, I got my ass beat growing up.
I'm just trying to figure out, like,
yeah. Like, I didn't get affection growing up, and that's probably another reason why.
I had an abusive stepdad. I guess in his eyes, he wasn't abusive, but I mean, that's how he learned, you know?
Okay.
And then I got into MMA at the age of 11, so.
Oh, I didn't know it was that young.
Yeah, it's combat sports running my blood. But it's like, even that, and it's like, with women, I lost my virginity at 11, so it's just like, the time I was 18, I mean...
You was in there, huh?
Yeah, I was...
Swimming.
I wouldn't say swimming, but, I mean... It wasn't, you know, like, you know, some people, they lose virginity at 16, 17, 18, they get a feel for it, and they try to find it. It's like, it was already relevant in my life.
Right.
So it's like, now, it's like... A lot of people in our age generation that are like 25, 26, 27 years old are just experiencing things I experienced when I was like 16, 17, 18. So, and it's like...
They're well-groomed in that area.
Yeah, it's like I had a fake ID at 15. I was going to clubs at 15, 16, 17 years old. So time when I got 21 to go to certain clubs, it wasn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cool to hang out with my friends there finally. But...
What about you? Is that too?
I didn't go into any of them.
Yeah,
we just side topic that a little bit. Let's see, three things that I need for a woman.
It's such a challenge.
Well, intellect is obviously one. She has to have a good heart. Definitely has to have a good heart. Three, she has to be outgoing. She has to have some type of ambition, something that's going to drive her. Because I'm ambition. I have ambition. So I don't want a girl that I'm always have to tailor to or cater to.
Okay.
I want someone that's going to go after their life and go after their happiness. I'm going to go after my life and my happiness, and we bring it together.
Right.
Because, like, I believe two individuals can't make each other happy. you know, you got to find your own happiness and bring it together.
Hold on, what did you just say?
Two individuals, I don't believe, can make each other happy. If you're both negative, you're going to get negativity. If you're both positive, you're going to get positivity.
Not only that, like, I feel like you have to be happy within yourself before
you can
be one with someone else.
Well, how can you tell somebody else to bring you happiness if you can't find it in yourself?
Yeah.
So it's like...
I agree with that. I'm really interested.
I mean... I believe in sowing and reaping, so even if somebody's negative or has negative viewpoints, you sow into them and try to give good to them and try to bless them with positivity and words of affirmation.
Yeah.
But what about you for a guy?
Communication.
Wrong answer. No, I'm just trying.
Communication is like number one. Like
yeah. Communication, what do you mean communication?
Like, communication as in the sense of expressing how you feel and not holding it in.
Right.
And
guys don't do that though. My like maybe his generation, because I know that younger guys out they want to talk about their feelings. They don't.
They
like
don't.
A lot of young guys,
they don't. Like,
but like my generation be like, hell no, you want to talk about what?
You want to talk about my feelings?
Like,
oh,
I'm
not
really?
Saying like be sappy.
No, I know. I'm just.
But
I'm
it's
just
like I can't read minds. You know,
no,
like.
Well, if you do something wrong, a guy should tell you, hey, whatever they call you, babe, whatever.
Of course.
They should be like, hey, you did this and that. But at the same time, I don't feel that the guy has to be like, oh, I'm sad.
I don't feel like you
blah,
should be
blah,
petty
blah, blah.
About
like,
anything.
No, I don't think it, not even in that sense. I just want you, I need to know, I need to make sure that we're on the same page.
So you want words of affirmation?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Communication, what's your next two?
Honesty.
Honesty?
Don't lie to me.
All right, we gotta come up with 100 lies.
Do not lie. Like, you gotta be honest. Like, yeah. If you're not an honest man, then... What can you be to our kids? Like,
what can you be to anybody?
Like
really?
you're the leader of the house, so you have to lead.
Right.
Okay, what's the third one?
The third one...
Hold on, let me stop you right there. If you have communication and you're honest, you have a chance.
I'm so dead.
The third one. And
I got her Instagram too, guys. It's going to be up at the bottom.
The
hey, for $500, I'll set up a blind date tomorrow.
$500.
She's like, after this podcast, we got 25 people to watch. So we got 25 suitors.
The third one?
You just fucked it up again.
I would say...
There you go. I got it. One day I'm not going to be able to get it back.
I need you to be a giving person. I need you to have a good heart.
Well, 90% of y'all, the 25 people, you just lucked out because we know you're shitty people. No, I'm
and
just joking.
Like,
just joking.
For me,
you just want love. That's all you want.
I mean, I don't feel like a woman.
So is that what you're like ultimately looking for, like a guy just to fall in love with you and be like your prince and you're the princess? Or are you looking for like just the normal like, hey, what's up? Let's hang out. Let's.
I mean, I feel like any relationship you have to start out as friends and then progress to a relationship. I don't think that anything should be forced. I think that it should naturally flow. If it's forced, then. You two of the people aren't just right for each other. Like, you're not
right.
But how if you're forcing it, does it mean like one person's forcing it and the other person is just settling, or are you saying like?
I feel like it could be both ways. Could be one person's forcing, one person settling, or I could feel like two people are trying to force it to make it work. And it's just
because they're
working.
Just both desperate.
Because you're just not. It could be desperate, or you could just be madly in love with each other.
And lack communication?
Huh?
And lack communication?
Yeah.
You're madly in love, but you hate each other at the same time.
Hey, man. Hey, good sex can change a lot of stuff.
I'm so down with you.
I mean, I'm saying you do stupid stuff for some good sex. I mean, you.
I wouldn't disagree, but like.
No, like, you just, like, just put it this way. It's like you're in a relationship for years. And, you know, you're arguing stuff, y'all break it off, and then y'all talk and then have this makeup bomb sex. I'm sorry, 90% of the time, you're getting right back together.
But see,
okay,
that's the problem.
Then you make that attraction.
If that's the situation, there's going to be somebody that's going to come along that's going to be Prince Charming, and it's going to have all that.
Yeah, but most girls will ignore that because, like...
What I'm saying is, you're saying you can do that, but you're only giving that girl that, which is good sex.
There's
a million other guys that can do that, though.
Yeah, but when you're in a relationship, you have love behind that emotion. So, like, you go blindsided all over again.
I agree to some degree, but what I'm saying is that's where you're going to lose in the end, because there's going to be some Prince Charming that's going to have all the plus 10,000 times more.
Well, I'm in relationships. I'm not matchmaker.com. I'm just expressing.
Would you say that you have to have sex in a relationship? Like, if
for it to work? No.
Yeah.
No, but I would say depending...
Hold on. If you're in a relationship, you have to have sex with that person.
No. See, because... All right, so...
So you're saying you could be in a relationship with a girl for 100 years and never have sex with her once?
Yeah, why not?
That's the type of love I like.
But I'm not saying... I'm not saying
that I can go without sex, but I'm saying, like, I would prefer to connect with you mentally, love is spiritual.
It's a spiritual.
Of course, that's going to work in the end. Of course, that's the relationship.
Look at this way.
But you can be sexually engaged with someone and sexually connected to someone, but not... You're disconnected emotionally and mentally.
Easily.
But here's the thing is, if you never had sex, you never know what it would feel like. So it's like when you love someone, you're getting something that you never had before.
If you're in love with somebody, that's going to happen automatically. If you're in love and physically attracted to somebody, then you're going to
want. Yeah, but what happens if you dated a girl in 4 years, y'all got married, you got in a car accident, and they had to remove your junk because of the accident?
No, that's why you need it. But let me tell you how this doesn't work. I know this sounds crazy, but this doesn't work. So I was in a relationship, and when you always pursue sex... What happens is then you become that guy that's always pursuing sex, right? So then I was in another relationship and I was like, I want to back off and I'm not going to have sex. So then it's like this girl, like, he doesn't ever want to have sex with me because he's not ever... And I'm like, well, where the fuck is the in-between
here?
I think
it just depends on the person.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why, like, you should connect mentally and emotionally and spiritually first before you progress into
sexual. No, but it doesn't matter. Like, what I'm saying is, if you tell a girl, if you're like with a girl and you connect emotionally and physically and all that stuff, and then... you pursue to have too much sex, it's because you're becoming a hound. If you go in the middle or even below,
I think you're focusing too hard on the actual situation. Because there's people, like, there's times, like,
you
go
up
to a girl and you can spark like this.
I'm telling you the evaluation
over
a whole time.
You can have sex and then 3 days later that spark can be gone. Then you can do the same thing with somebody else. Y'all can spark like this, have sex, and do it for 10 years and never lose that spark. It's a situational thing based on two people and their two previous experiences.
Mm-hmm.
It depends if that person was raised in survival or if they were raised not in survival. There's a bunch of different things that challenge into that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, sex could be a driving factor for you in a relationship because you might have a hypersex drive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, true, but that's not what I'm saying.
No, I get what you're saying, but I'm just saying, like, in the overall, like, I don't know the word I would use for that, but, I mean, I don't think, sex should not be a driving factor to be with someone. But it does change some variables. I will say that. I mean, good sex changes everything. I mean,
how old are you?
I'm 27.
You're 27. So young girls, I find they're way less desperate. But older women are hugely desperate that are single because they feel that they've gotten to the point in their life they have, like, very few chances left, right?
Okay.
When I meet a girl, like an older woman...
So
she's super freaking desperate.
John's like, I'm already in the...
Like, I don't even have to do anything.
How old is she?
Any girl that's 35 and above.
Okay.
That's 35 and above that I meet. And then on top of that, they don't think that I'm my age, for one. But then they look at every opportunity, every girl that I date that's at that age. Not like I've dated a lot of girls that are that age. Most of them are younger. But they're super desperate. They're super... But you meet a younger girl, you have to try. Not that you have to try, but everything is more...
Well, she's young. She's on Instagram. She's on Facebook. She's
there's
on
so many more.
She has 70.
Exactly.
She has
so
70
there's
dudes.
So many more interactions that you have to overcome to make this situation...
Well, do older women use social media like younger women?
Yeah.
Then I would think they would get blown up the same. Women get blown...
See, the difference
there
is...
There are men that buy women's feet
the
cakes.
The younger women still believe in
moral conversation?
No, in a happy ending, right? So a lot of women, once they get to like 40 years old, and they've already been through the divorce, they've already been through the guys doing this and doing that and doing all this, they've given up hope a lot of times.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, I just met a nice guy that's cool. And then all of a sudden it goes from 0 to 100.
Real quick. Let
me give you an example. So I met a girl in Savannah when I was living in Savannah. We went out first date, and she was loud. Like, I'm a quiet dude. I go out, I'm like, hey, we can talk and have a conversation, but it's just me and you having a conversation. She was like yelling, and like, where's people right next to us?
Yeah.
And I'm like embarrassed. So then I go, I had her meet me at my house. I go home. She
you
goes.
You just
home.
Met her?
Huh?
You just met her and you had her meet her at your house?
Yeah, I had her meet me at my house. Like, she just met me at my house. I was like, all right. Anyways, she didn't come inside my house. She just met me at where my house was at, right? So then we come back. Of course she had to come inside, right? So she comes inside.
And you let her come inside?
Yeah, I didn't let her come inside me. No, she didn't come inside. No, she didn't come inside.
A little bit.
So yeah. she comes to the house, and we hang out for a little bit, and then she leaves. Nothing happens, right? Nothing happens. The next morning, all right, so my schedule at the time, Monday and Tuesdays, I didn't work. It's still kind of like this, Monday, except for I work at the gym now on Mondays. But Mondays and Tuesdays, I don't work. So Monday, this was a Sunday. She came to my house on Monday and was banging. Like, she rang my, she called my house or my phone like 20 times. And I didn't answer because I was sleeping. If I'm sleeping and you call me, there's a good chance I'm not even going to pick up my phone. So around 10:30, 11 o'clock, I hear it banging on my, because everybody comes to my back door. And I'm like, who the fuck is banging on my door? Like, why would somebody? And I went and peeked out the side, and it was her, like, just banging on my door. Oh my God. And so I just went back and got my bag.
I left her hanging.
I don't know if you've ever seen the thin line between love and hate.
I did.
That movie, like, I believe that. So I never did anything.
What happened down the road with that chick?
So this is what happened. She lived, like, right down the road, right? So she calls me. Eventually, like, around 6 o'clock that evening, I texted her back. I was like, hey, what's up? Why are you tripping? And blah, blah. So I just kept talking to her on the phone, and like, just, I would never like invite, she'd be like, we live in the same town, you're not gonna come hang out with me. I'm like,
no, you're crazy.
I'm like, I didn't even say that. I would just be like, hey, blah, you know. I'd say it's nice, cause I was like, I never even done it. That's the problem, is I never done anything to give her the idea that I liked her. Like, I mean, when we're out at dinner, like, I'm like, would you shut the fuck up, cause you're so loud. Yeah, like, it's really what I wanted to tell her. I was like, it was embarrassing to me that, and some of the shit she was saying was just not things that I would associate myself with as a person. And she was lying. I feel like she was a liar too. I feel like she had a lot of shit she was lying about. So with that being said, I didn't want to fucking date her again or hang out with her.
Do you have
any
situations like that on a date?
I was in a relationship for 8 years, 8.5 years, on and off. So how long have you been single?
So this is since you're like 18, 17, 18?
So how long, it
would depend on how long you've been single, if it was 17 or 18. Because you said you're 27, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said 8 years, that would make you 19, right? Unless you're just, that would make you just single recently.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even answer the question. She's like, mm-hmm. Okay.
No, single recently.
For a low price of $200,000, you can be her boyfriend.
Yeah, so I'm not that well experienced in the dating world, but I have gone on dates.
Any negative ones? Any Tinder experience?
You know what's fucked up is this is my bad side. I just not realize this is gonna look horrible on this fucking shit.
Do you want to switch?
Nope, it's too late. No. It is what it is. I'm not trying to pick ladies up on this shit.
You trying to put your mask back on?
Date I've been on.
No, not at all.
So we went to this restaurant, and we were sitting at a table, eating chips and salsa. I love chips and salsa. It's so good. We sit down, and the first question he asks is, "Are you sexually active?" And this was the first time I've ever seen.
Not even 30 seconds.
But what does that mean? Like, what does that mean to you?
Hold on.
Let her finish the story, then we'll go back into it.
And so I'm like, what? And he's like, are you sexually active? I was like, why is that your first question? And he was like, I just want to know before we progress. I got up politely and told him to have a great night, and I walked out.
No, you should have lied to him. Just told him he had HIV or something. That would have really fucked with him.
It probably would have. No, it definitely would have.
Yeah. What do you think that meant when he said that?
If I was currently having sex.
Yeah, that was disrespectful. That was very disrespectful.
Or if I would have sex with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically what he's saying to you is like...
Basically, there's no finesse.
He was like,
hey, I think you're cute. Let's go eat some chips and sauce. And she was like, okay. Get there. By the way, did you know? Did I know what? Did you know you were sexually active?
Yeah, so that's the worst date I've been on.
That's crazy.
And that's a huge turnoff for me. Because like I said, I don't think that...
You don't even vibe? Nothing.
I mean, we didn't really get to even have a conversation.
There wasn't a conversation.
I mean, sex shouldn't be the first thing in your mind that we talk about. I need a mental connection.
Well, it's like, I don't think a lot of guys understand, like, you feed off the girl. When a guy hits onto a girl, he has to vibe off of her, not off of his emotion. Most guys just go, they just, I call it the foolish syndrome.
Okay.
They just go and be foolish. Mm-hmm. I mean, women are emotional creatures. Guys are more logical in the essence of how they react to things, I would say. Y'all based off from emotion, we base it off of our logic.
Right.
And like a girl, you can read her vibes. Like if a girl likes you, she would do call signs. Like she would do things, she'll text you back faster or do certain things. Right. She'll call you out of the blue or whatever it is. But most guys don't think pick up on that. And that's why I think they think it's okay. They can, I call that a bad cat calling.
Okay.
But I don't know, what do you think? I mean, have I you ever went up straight for a kill for a girl?
No, not at all. Kill. I'm all about,
I mean, just, maybe in high school.
I guess when I was a kid, you'd always think of, whenever you're young, you always think of like what a conversation would be like with a girl before you've actually had a conversation with a girl. So you think about what it is. And I'd always think about like, what would you say? How would you say this? What would you, and I never really knew what to say. And then I think I was probably like 16 and all my friends were at my house and this girl, Courtney, was outside and we were just having a conversation. Like, mm-hmm. just, what's up? Blah, blah, blah. I wasn't trying to pick her up. I wasn't trying to do anything. But by the end of the conversation, she wanted to date me. Like, she was like, we got to hang out again.
That's awesome.
We got to do this. And I really didn't like her at all. Like,
oh, okay.
That.
I guess
but,
it's not awesome.
But it made me realize. It made me realize what I needed to do if I wanted to date somebody. I needed to just be myself and have a conversation with this person. And if I connected off the conversation with this person, then it didn't matter what I said. I didn't have to come up with, like, saying, are you from Tennessee because you're the only Tennessee, or just stupid stuff like that, because none of that really worked. I've never experienced any of my, I've never experienced a person that went up and did that and it worked, like, other than it just being stupid and the girl looking at them like they're an asshole for saying something that retarded to somebody like that. But so I've always just found it out of conversation, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't,
it doesn't.
Who gives a fuck? Think about how many relationships have you been, other than you, because you're in a relationship right now. But other than that, how many relationships have you been in that have worked out? Like, zero.
You're talking to me?
Everybody. Oh, okay. Everybody that's single. Even you, like, right now you're in a relationship, but how many before that have worked out? You know what I mean? Like, realistically, like, 1% of your relationships have worked out. You know what I mean? Like, so the percentage of a relationship working out is... Hello. How are you doing?
Hey, John.
Hey, what's up?
Are they out there?
Yeah, we're right here. Oh, I don't know if we're filming right here. I have no idea if they're
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. You're fine.
Hey, we'll take 3 plates, please.
Huh? He said he'll take 3 plates. He was just messing with you.
It's good. Damn good.
I can smell it.
Sausage gumbo.
No, it smells.
Oh my God,
I'm up for adoption.
Ah.
I don't bite. Oh, well, maybe the food.
So I'm going to ask this random question. It's not really random.
They're from Louisiana.
Are they from my dad's side?
What part?
Her name's Brandy Bouchard.
My God. That's like a known last name in Louisiana, besides Good.
Well, that's not her name anymore, she's married.
Just kidding. Okay. Anyways, so if you've seen a random person on the street asking for money.
Wait, will we change the topic?
Yeah, well, she said she wanted to ask
It was random.
What was the question?
If you've seen a random person on the street asking for money.
I'd ask him what one to buy. No, I'm just joking.
And you had a 20, a 10, and a 5 in your wallet. What would you give them?
Depends on the person.
So how can you define?
Do you want an honest answer, or do you want like just a bullshit?
No, this is honesty,
political
right?
media answer.
I don't know. All right. So I'm walking down the street and I see someone and they say, "Hey, do you got any spare money?" And I know subconsciously I have a 10, a 5, a 20, a 10, and a 5.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm gonna see what they're wearing.
Why does that matter?
Why? Because I know there's a lot of panhandlers in Atlanta.
Okay.
And if they have nicer shoes than me, nicer clothes than me, maybe I need to keep my $5. Or maybe I need to keep my $20. Just depends.
Okay.
Now, if they have more, like, I've seen homeless people, because I donate a lot of shirts and I do a lot of stuff. They have nicer stuff than me. They have the brand new iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
They have Jordans that are brand new. They have the new Nike backpack. And I'm out here. I've seen people in line just as well that get, say, food stamps, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They have a whole line full of groceries, and it's all junk food, and then they get out and they have an Escalade outside.
Okay.
So I judge things based on the person. So when I talk to them, I'd be like, you know, how long you've been out here, or whatever it may be. But it also depends how much, if I say I had $35 and I needed $29.99, to say whatever responsibility, that means I only have $5 to give. Mm-hmm. So it also depends on what I have to give based off my debt to income ratio at that time.
Okay.
I mean, if you have 20 extra dollars to give, it's good to bless people because that's called sowing and reaping.
Right.
Eventually you can reap on that harvest.
Right.
But I think it's all situational. I don't think there's like a right or wrong answer what you should give them. It should be based on your previous and past experiences, mm-hmm. especially with homeless people or people that are in need, mm-hmm. Or just based off a feeling. I mean, there's some feelings you get that are like, man, I know this person could use this more than me. Let me go ahead and give them that whole
$35. Right.
And then there's chances which is like, man, I wish I had change for a $5 and give them $1 so they can get something to drink.
Okay.
That's how I look at it. What about you, John?
I mean, to be honest,
John doesn't donate. He says, fuck everybody.
No, that's a lie.
I'm joking. Partly. No, I'm just joking.
How would I approach the situation would be a visual confirmation of who I was looking at. I'll give you a great example. When I lived in Savannah, there's this guy that at Walmart. There's a neighborhood Walmart. And I'll go to the neighborhood Walmart. He had his little dog and a group mm-hmm. of guys that he would hang out with. They were all homeless. The first time I seen him, I gave him whatever money I had left over from whenever I left the store, which was like $1.10 and change mm-hmm. or something like that. And then later that night, I saw him walking home with a six-pack of beer going to an apartment at the same apartments that I was living at, right? Mm-hmm. So that guy, every time I saw him, I gave him the dirtiest look, like I was going to slap the shit out of him if he asked me for any money again. Mm-hmm. There was a mentally ill person at McDonald's that needed a belt. And he was walking around with it. And I asked him, I said, hey, do you want my belt? And I could tell he was mentally ill. He had like 6 drinks in front of him, and all he wanted was drinks. It was mm-hmm. a whole bunch of drinks, right? So I was like, hey, do you need a belt? And I gave him my belt. Would I give somebody the money to answer your question? If I could provide them with something that they needed right then rather than money, then I would rather help them out that way. I feel like the money is futile because if they're going to buy alcohol with it or they're going to buy food with it, it really is only helping them out immediately for that initial second. What I need to do is I need to find a way to get them somebody that cares about them, somebody that's going to give them a home, a place to live, a job, mm-hmm. so that they can provide all those things for themselves. Me giving them money isn't going to help them out at all. I mean, what's it going to do? Give them a little bit of food maybe for that night? What they need is they need somebody to teach them how to fish so that they can eat forever and they can work forever and do all these. And I don't mean literally teach them how to fish, but they need to learn the concept of some people like the mentally ill guy. He was never going to do that. Whenever I was leaving the McDonald's, I walked up and I said, is there anything I can get you? And he's like, can I just have your drink? And he already had 6 drinks in front of him. And I'm like, Jesus, of course you can have it, but I'd give you anything right now.
Yeah.
So would I give money to help? Even somebody that's mentally ill, the money isn't going to help them because they're not going to know how to spend it wisely or use it to help themselves out. So I don't know if the money's ever an answer to help any homeless person out or any person that needs money, especially a drug addict. Giving them money isn't going to help them. It's going to get them high. Mm-hmm. To help that person out, I would need to find a way to focus on if they wanted to get themselves in a better place, then I can help them easily. Mm-hmm. I can easily teach somebody how to fish. You know, I can teach you how to get a
but
job.
What if you only had 30 minutes?
30 minutes?
Or 10 minutes to...
If they would allow me to give them 10 minutes, then I would... I don't know. I don't know how I can help somebody in 10 minutes. If they only got 10 minutes to change their life, then they don't want to change their life.
Okay.
If somebody was like, hey, I need you to help me change my life, I'll spend the rest of my life. I'll sit in your car, you give me a job, I would allow somebody to do that. But I would never not give somebody money to help them out, but I wouldn't think that I was helping them out. I wouldn't be like, because I gave you $10, am I helping you? No, probably not. I mean, you might think, or it might look like I'm helping you. I might say, hey, this sounds good. I gave $100 to the homeless
thing,
but it's not helping. Helping is changing, making an actual change and making a difference. Giving money is just a futile donation that goes nowhere. You got to be able to change the overall outlook of everything. And sometimes that's the problem is you got to, when you're trying to overcome a whole outlook, mm-hmm. a lot of times some people get stepped on and people don't like that approach. You know, sometimes you have to say, hey, look, I'm not going to give you no fucking money because that's not the way to help you out. And that's not the way people want to be helped. People want to say, hey, I'm out here working for my, because you can make a lot of money doing that. Panelers can probably make $300 or $400 in Washington, D.C. or certain cities where they can sit out and people are going to give them money, and they have all these people that will donate. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a good or bad or wrong or right answer that I gave you. But if I could change someone's life and do it, and they allowed me to do it, mm-hmm. of course, I would sit and I'd give them all the knowledge, all the information I could to help them. Because it's easy, especially in society today, with phone apps and all this crap, the way that you can make money. You can make money working for Uber. Not that they could, or not that anybody could. I'm just saying that there's a lot of million different ways that people can benefit that weren't part of technology 10 years ago, even, because the technology has changed.
Yeah, right.
So I'm just babbling. So what about you?
I would give them the $20 bill. If I had to give money, out of $5, $10, or $20, I would give them $20. I definitely agree with both of y'all's. I think that they need more help than just money. But to me, we go and spend $20 at McDonald's, or $20 on a pair of shoes, or you don't spend $20 on a pair of shoes?
I spend like $120.
Well, some people go to the thrift store. I'm a thrift store shopper.
No, I'm a everything else. I would never spend $20 at McDonald's. I would never spend a lot of money on food.
No.
People spend a lot of money on food. People will save money on everything else but go to and spend $1,000 on food. No, I agree. But I do this because I have to provide for my family.
Course,
and I feel that a lot of times, a lot of people they overlook the donations to their family, because you need to help your family out
first,
in every situation. Because it's like the philosophy on a plane. If you're not providing oxygen for yourself, how are you going to provide oxygen for somebody else?
I definitely agree with that.
But I do agree that homeless people in general should have a better.
I think we should have a better. A better outlook of people. There's a difference between being homeless and experiencing homelessness. Those are two major different categories.
Right.
You can have a 40-hour job and living in the woods.
100%, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? And that paycheck, you could be making $7.25, $8.25, $9. You know.
But that's an excuse, don't you think? If you're saying if you can get a job, if you can get a job and you are able to work, then you should work 6 jobs to provide for yourself. Because anybody else, there's moms out there that have three or four jobs and they're supporting their own kids and doing that. And they don't make excuses. They're like, shit, I got to do this. If I don't go to work and I don't do this, then I'm screwed. My kids are screwed. It's the same with me. I don't work every day. I don't do it. My kids are not going to be fed.
But on the flip side of it, you have the mental abuse. So you have
the mental what?
Mental, not mental abuse, but depression or people just sitting in it, and it's just hard for them to climb out of.
Right.
I know several people.
No, but that's where people should be helped, though. That's where I think people should be helped. They should
help themselves.
They should helping themselves isn't going to change the situation, but they need people to support them in that situation. Like, if you have a depression and you need somebody to support you and say, hey, can you help me with this while I'm doing it? You understand?
That's understandable.
And that's where a depression, and that's probably where you're saying you need a group of people coming together, understanding homelessness as a whole, because the people that are depressed, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, if you're in a situation like that, you should be getting help where it's not a financial burden or changes your whole outcome in your life. Because think about it, if you go to a psychiatrist, you're gonna have to spend money, and that's more money that you're going out of your pocket that's gonna should be going to rent or food or whatever it is.
And who can afford a psychiatrist?
I wouldn't know how much they cost.
I think what would help is if you create a healthier America. What I mean by how we speak to one another, because how we speak to each other is a lot of links to depression.
Because
you talk to yourself, a lot of people talk down to you, you start talking down to yourself, you don't feel worthy around your peers.
Oh, no, that actually happened recently in sports. You know Mauro Ranallo, the announcer?
Oh.
He's like an MMA announcer for Bellator and all them. But he also works in the WWF or whatever that is, wrestling. And one of the other commentators commented and said that he should shut up and he shouldn't talk as much on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, he's fighting depression, so he's actually out. Like, they're making a big, it's big, it's huge online, you can look it up. But he's been out of work for 6 days now, and the person that said it has not deleted the tweet, has not came out and said he was sorry, not done any of these things. But he basically was, and I agree that some people are too sensitive. I have to agree that there's a lot of people that are just way too sensitive. But this is a case where if you know somebody's depressed and you're attacking them, basically what you said, saying words to somebody, and you don't know how they're gonna affect that person, because they're gonna say it to themselves constantly over and over. Now he's probably at home thinking, I should have shut up, I shouldn't have talked so much. blah blah blah. So, but that whole case is a classic example of how depression can ruin your life altogether, because now he's not going to work. There's a whole bunch of questions whether or not that's really true or it's not true. Why is he not at work? Because the organization put out a cover to say he had lost his voice. Said he lost his voice and that, and he was going to be back on Wednesday, but Wednesday rolls around, he's still not at work. So
basically covering it up.
This is the second time it's happened. So they're trying. The first time it was even worse. Like another one of the, another commentator said he was going to beat him up, but the commentator was an actual professional wrestler, so it wasn't like it was a big dude. It was like a huge dude that was threatening a little guy, and it was way worse that time. This time it's more of a in between, a little too sensitive depression thing, you know, like he's probably a little too sensitive maybe, but at the same time, like, it's like attacking somebody that's depressed. You should always be sensitive towards people, more sensitive towards people like that, if that makes sense.
Just be mindful that everybody is not you. Everybody's different.
So everybody's different, but all the same. Because we're all humans at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Unless somebody's an alien.
Well, guys, we're going to wrap this up. I hope you have a great and blessed day.
Hold on, before we go, is there any shout-outs, anything you want to talk about before you go?
What do you mean by shout-outs?
Like, is there anything you're doing that you want to let people know that they need to look forward to?
I'm collecting coats, winter wear, to give to the people who are homeless.
And that's going to be on your Instagram. They can contact you. Yes,
so they can contact me or DM me through there. I'm going to be starting to give it out next Saturday. And I'm still collecting throughout the whole month of December as well as January. So if you have any coats or winter wear, please contact me. And thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I actually have a coat I can donate to you.
Yes.
Right there.
I'll Which one? The army one?
No, not the
army. That one's cute.
No, that's my hoodie I just bought.
Okay, then, never mind.
All right, guys. Right there.
Peace. All right. All the names, Instagram, all the information will be on the screen right about.
That was 44 minutes?
That was 53 minutes and 45 seconds.
Well, you had to edit.